caravans on the mountains, one pair of hands from the sea, one pair of hands made the sun and the moon, every bird, every flower, every tree. One pair of hands on the valleys, the ocean, the rivers, and the sand. Those hands are so strong, so when life goes wrong, put your faith into one pair of hands. One pair of hands heal the sick. One pair of hands raise the dead. One pair of hands calm the raging storm. And thousands of people were fed. One pair of hands said, I love you. And those hands were nailed to a tree. Those hands are so strong, so when life goes wrong, put your faith into one pair of hands. Those hands are so strong, so when
everybody, Pastor Buddy joining you live tonight around the world on WWRB. Glad to have you in here. We've got a great program for you. We're live and direct. We hope everything's fine with you. Storms again. I'm telling you, it's getting bad around the country. Storms raging, as well as famine and pestilence, all these things. Have you ever wondered about the law and grace? Tonight we got a message for you on that topic. I think it's very needful to sort of rightly divide Yahweh's word. And tonight the word is nullify. Nullify, to cancel out. Well, to cancel his law, does that put us under grace? And if we're not under grace, are we still under the law? The grace and its relationship to the law is one of the most misunderstood topics in the Bible. Now, those who profess Christ have been taught, and most of them firmly believe, that God's grace is the opposite of the law. They believe that God's grace alone is enough for a believer. All they got to do is confess, and his grace will take them through. In fact, the ministers of grace go so far as to state that anyone who seeks to obey God's law has rejected the salvation plan that the Messiah offered. It's a warped view of Christianity. They attack the law, those that would try to obey the law, and declare it to be legalism. Have you ever heard that word? So tonight, we're going to discuss this topic, to nullify. How sad and how unscriptural the state affairs of man's life has come about. Many cite the epistles of Paul. Paul is the first victim in the Bible that gets blamed for mixing the law and grace. He spoke because he was an expert on the law. In the law, he was considered to be a perfect Pharisee, if there's such a thing. He knew the topic well, and he was chosen by the Messiah, not meant to be called an apostle, chosen out of season, and he brought the scriptures such as this. Let me show you what he wrote about it to sort of set the stage for a few moments in some of Paul's gospel. Those who are ignorant and unlearned wrestle with his scriptures. And this is the first one, basically. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 is the scripture that we're going to talk about tonight and nullify. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any one should boast. Romans 6 and 4. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. Romans 7 and 6. But now we have been released from the law, having died to that by which we were bound, so that we serve in newness of the Spirit and not in oldness of the letter. Galatians chapter 2, verse 21. I do not nullify the grace of God. For if justification was through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. Galatians chapter 3, verse 10. All who rely on observing the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. Verse 11. Clearly, no one is justified before God by the law, because the righteousness, or the righteous will live by faith. The law is not based on faith. But on the contrary, the man who does these things will live by them. The Messiah, who redeemed us from the curse of the law, became a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Galatians chapter 3, verse 23. Now before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith that would be revealed. So then, the law was our guardian, or schoolmaster, until the Messiah come, in order that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. For in the Messiah, you are all sons of God through faith. Now, here's the last one to set the tone for you and give you a platform that we're going to build on nullifying. Galatians chapter 5, verse 4. This is a strong one that they really hang on you when you preaching on the law and grace. You have become estranged from the Messiah. You who attempt to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace. Now, On the surface, the passages that I've just read you seem to teach that those who have received Yahweh's grace don't need to keep the law. But Paul truly believed and taught that God's grace triumphed the law and made it invalid? I don't think so. Many have taken these comments from Paul to mean that, yeah, that's what he was doing. He was nullifying the law to preach grace. And they take him out of context, and they don't understand. Let me ask you a question with a little analogy here. Let's just say that you're in prison. You've done a horrible crime, and all of a sudden, you're at the ninth hour, you are sentenced to death, and the clock is ticking, and you're going to be executed at 12 p.m. At 1 minute until 12, you have a governor's pardon. Now he has the power, the governor has power to release you or to forgive you or to commute the sentence. He's going to nullify it, basically. Now, can you understand what I'm talking about? Now, let's say that he goes out of the prison and he starts breaking the law again. What happens? Now, remember, the sentence has been nullified. Here he is. You know, a tree bites fruit. He goes right out and goes against the law. He starts breaking it. And do you think he's going to stay out of jail? Now, if you cannot reconcile the verses that I just give you that show obedience to God's law is a necessary part of a believer's life, and you've taken the very extreme position of saying, oh, I don't have to keep the law. I'm not under the law. I'll just go out here and I'll break the law to prove I'm not under the law. Because Paul said, whosoever of you that attempt to be justified by law has fallen from grace. So how can you walk that tightrope? And what good does the nullification that we're talking about here, since those who preach grace only? Now, I've got a saying, and I've said it many times before, even here on the radio. It's actually not a question of grace. It's a question of race. So we knock the G off, and it becomes a question of race. Now, a race is a family. Let's say that you are the prodigal son, and your friend, and to judge or compare against the two, is one that worked daily in the vineyard and served his father well. Now, that fellow that's claiming grace, he didn't know he had it. But when he was invited to put on the sandals and the robe and the ring and come and dance at the welcome party, it seems like that the guy that had been working out his salvation, and the Bible does say to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, but it says also that it's not by works that you're saved. Now, faith is absolute. So we've all, in a sense, got a pardon. Now, that would have been great. That's because the executor, the governor here, in this case Yahweh, He's decided he's not going to charge you with any sin. Now, remember, we've all sinned and come short. So we're all guilty. The law determined that. Now, if the law has determined that we're all guilty and we're all under sin, notice that the way to get out from under sin is to pull out that pardon. When someone condemns you that you're a sinner, when you do something that isn't pleasing to them, and you've failed and come short, and they justify their sins or their shortages and compare against you that they're better, does it make it true that the nullification or the pardon that you receive is no longer good or valid? Well, you're not saved by works, but by grace. The Bible says that you're saved from the foundation of the world with a holy calling. Now, let me give you a comparison of those two. The one that wasted all of his substance with unrighteous living. I mean, he partied till everything that he had inherited from the Father, it's all gone. He ain't got no more. Nothing else. He's down at the hog pen, and he's eating the husk, as we know. You got to really notice what the term, which includes grace, justification, or lasciviousness, or lawlessness, and legalism. You got to understand these things. Grace, mentioned in the New Testament, the Greek word translated grace is charis, or from charity. One of the definitions for charis is a winning quality of attractiveness that invites a favorable reaction, charm, a benefit, a disposition towards someone of favor, goodwill, help. You needed help to keep the law. The law was holy. Now, you are a unrighteous person in the flesh. The very thoughts of foolishness is sin. We all have them. So you're going to need an exceptional, generous favor toward us. Gratitude. So the governor gave us a pardon. Now, we can carry that paper around when we need it to justify ourselves. When someone accuses us, someone that judges us, and then we compare our pardon to their pardon. What's the difference between my pardon and your pardon? Well, I've worked, I'm not like that old publican over there, said the Pharisee. I've washed my hands, you know, every time I eat, and I fast twice a week, and I pay tithes, and I'm better than this guy over here. Well, you see, it's to whom you show favor to. And so then you have to judge yourself according to the pardon. I forgive you. I forgive you though you've gone astray. Neither do I condemn you. Is what the governor said. The benefit of gracious care, help, or goodwill. This governor really loves us. Now, my question to you, to know to do good and do it not is a what? It's a sin. So let's say that you get out of the sentence, you got your pardon in your pocket, and you run out here, and the first thing you do, you run downtown, and you get down to the beer joint, and you drink 10 beers, or 12, or whatever. And then you see this pretty woman on the dance floor, and she's married, and you start dancing with her, and first thing you know, the husband comes in, and he picks a fight with you, and you kill this man in a rage, and what are they going to do to you? Now here you've got a pardon. You can take the pardon right back to the judge. And what's the judge going to say? Well, now wait a minute here. We thought you was going to straighten up, and we thought you was going to honor him. I told you to go show yourself to the priest that you've been clean and you've been made whole, but you come in here with blood on your hands. Can you keep going back every time with that pardon and claiming justification by grace because you are continuously sinning because you can't quit? You can't turn from your wicked ways. You can't do good. So the implication here is within the concept of being made right with your Father by keeping His commandments. If you say that you love Him and you won't keep them, although you've been in jail, but you pardoned God out of there. You get outside and you forget what manner of a man or woman you are, and you start going back to the same, like the dog going back to its vomit. How do you expect the judge or the governor, I mean, you're going to go right back before him, time after time after time, and pull your pardon out? Well, you forgive me before. You said, I forgive you. That's the same thing with the Father. I mean, here he is, he's good to you. What does that mean, that piece of paper that pardoned you, that guarantee, what does that mean anything to you? Well, Christ gave an analogy, again, likened to this. He said, frankly, a man owed me a whole lot of money. And he had no way of paying it back, so I just forgive it. I said, forget it. I'll pay it. Then this other guy just owed him a little money, and he charged him. He said, oh, I can pay that. So he paid him out of his pocket. Now, the question was, he said, which one would love me the most? And Peter, man, he grabbed that real quick, and he responded, well, it was naturally it's the one that you forgive for the most. And this is what it was given for. He gave us the law, and none of us could keep it. Some of us tried. But we all kept coming up short. And Satan became the accuser. Anytime that we went to the court concerning your sins, there was not an offering good enough to cover yours. We'd keep you for a year, the blood of a goat or a bull would keep you for a year. But we're talking about something that's going to keep you forever. Now, whosoever that tries to be under the law, going about that, oh, I like the Pharisee. Oh, I go to church, I pay tithes, I do this and I do that. So therefore, it makes me better. That's what Paul was trying to get across to you. That it didn't make you any better so that you could go out and condemn someone, because in 1 John chapter 3, verse 4, he defines sin as lawlessness. Therefore, sin is biblically defined as a violation of God's law, and those who break God's law because of their contempt for its value to a believer that's practicing lawlessness, it'd be like each time that you come back with blood dripping on your hands and you would ask him again and again and again to forgive, and you went out and forgot what manner of man you were. You forgot how it was in prison. And you kept that lusting demon or that sin or that violence, that drinking, that fighting, whatever that lawlessness is. Lawlessness is a transgression of the law, not to cut it and undo all those things. But legalism is a term, and it's not found in the Bible, but it defines in the Webster Dictionary for legalism, the doctrine of salvation by works as distinguished from that by grace, and the tendency to observe the letter rather than the spirit of the law. You see that? People like to get you on the letter rather than the spirit of the law. If you're striving and you still come short, you still slip up, you still make a mistake, and there's no mercy there, you get your servant by the neck and you begin to beat him because he can't deliver, or you judge him unworthy, then you're practicing legalism by the letter of the law. Sometimes people say, well, the Bible says you do this right here and you don't deviate. Well, each one of us has a different set of values. Some can eat meat without feeling guilty, and some can let meat condemn them. And Paul was talking about the difference between that letter, that because you're not supposed to eat pork, let's say, where the issue is pork. What about if you walk up on a brother and he's eating pork? And you grab him by the nape of the neck and you put the letter to him. And he says, well, I didn't know that was in there. You know, there's things that under the law, I'm telling you, it is a very, after studying it for 50 years, it's a very complicated set of law, just like the Black Law Dictionary, you know, to practice law in the judicial system of the earth. It's pretty complex. There's no way by going to the legalistic point of by the letter of the law that anyone could keep the law. Now, they tried to convince Christ that he was breaking the law because they had the letter advantage. And these that are legalistic, having the letter advantage, when they do their works, and the Bible says you're not saved by works, and that's the great raging debate. Now, let me give you another analogy. Let's say that a man was caught selling sensitive information to a foreign government. What's that called? Treason, right? Okay, we're going to legally try and convict this man of treason against the United States. Even though the man recognized he had made a terrible mistake and was sorry for what he had done, the severity of the crime required a death sentence based on the laws of the United States. The prisoner is on death row And here the president can give a spirit reckoning of forgiveness other than going by the letter of the law. The pardon is now nullified. The legal code of the United States still remains the same. It's the difference between the law and the grace of the crime. We would all be guilty before Yahweh. Every mouth would be stopped. None of us are good. None of us can keep the law. It's complex. And that was Satan, the prosecuting eternity, the attorney for eternity, always accusing the brethren. We need a pardon. Well, we've got one. But here we go out and we commit worse sins. Christ kept telling the people when he would heal them and forgive them or give them grace, he'd warn them, don't go out there and sin no more. Don't make this same mistake. And a lot of people today, by the legalistic letter of the law, you never can be good enough. They're always condemning you. And those who want to break the law to prove they're justified, Paul warned you. He said, you that say that I say to break the law, that good may come to you. That's not what he was talking about. He said, by the letter of the law, Yahweh has forgiven you. He's got grace. He understands. He's been through this thing before. If you fall and if you come short, there's grace for you. It's not fatal. You have another chance. But if you keep on willfully sinning, that's what people do by boasting, well, I'm not under the law, glory to God. I'm saved by grace. And you see them doing things worse than a sinner and still claiming justification. Well, if his blood was able to free you from the curse and you keep going back and committing the curse or the sin, and expecting that blood to keep covering you, or going back before the judge and say, well, I didn't mean to take that man's wife, or I didn't really mean to kill that guy. Yeah, I got on drugs and got strung out and stole an automobile and went out here and killed, run through a school zone and killed four or five little children. How could you live with that? How could you lay down at night and say, oh, God loves me and he's forgiven me. Those who think that they can earn their salvation by law keeping are really effectively nullifying God's grace. But those who claim God's grace and keep breaking the law has to come to a point where it's the integrity of that law that will begin to judge you. If you're nothing but a liar or a deceiver, and you keep breaking Yahweh's law, and you keep going back before the judge and try to convince him that, oh, you didn't mean to get drunk and get on those drugs and go out there and race through a school zone or hit a school bus and kill 10 or 12 children and expect the law or the judge to forgive you. You're going to reap what you sow. And so the whole teaching of law and grace is taken because each one is trying to nullify the other one. And Yahweh didn't mean for the grace to nullify the law or the law to do away with the grace. By the letter by trying, by drawing near to Him, it's trying to give you the understanding that for you that would, you know, depend on the works of the law, you're steadily under a curse because you're going to read something that you think that is right and you're going to find something there to condemn it. And so you're going to get a complex.
Well, I can't do right at all. I just found this law. I did this and thought it was okay, and this law covered that.
The law was nothing to prove that you were a sinner. And the more that you learn about the law, is the more you know you're a sinner and that you need the grace. Well, that don't make you hate the law, because He freely forgives you. Who would love Him more? Oh, I know that I've been forgiven much. When much has been forgiven, much is required. If Yahweh's freely forgive you and wrote you a pardon, and he's putting it on the line, he's saying, oh, He'll love me. He'll love me if I forgive Him. And then Yahweh was wrong. You prove you didn't love Him by breaking the law. You see that? It's not that under the letter of the law that you were trying to keep it perfect. That's a Pharisee, you know, trusting in their own righteousness and despising the righteousness of others. Don't do that. Have grace. If somebody comes, well, I tell you, I done something wrong the other day. You know, sometimes when you talk to a minister and he's got no heart and he's never been through anything himself, he's never drunk a beer, and you know, you drink six beers and you do a few sins and you come and confess to the preacher. And you say, well, you know, that's all right. We all do that. We've all sinned and come short. But you keep doing it 100 times later, he's going to get weary with you, and he's going to find out that the spirit that is within you seeking lusting to sin or to drink has not been delivered. You're supposed to be a new creature. The things that you once loved, you're now supposed to hate. And if you've got that, that's exactly how you are. But it don't give you the right to condemn by boasting in the law. You make Christ, the work that He did for you, you make it void. But just because He gave you grace doesn't justify you to break His law. You say, well, then what advantage is it? Well, when you're trying to be justified by law, you've alienated yourself from the very purpose that Christ came, and then you fall away from grace. Or from the charity that suffered long, is kind, it's not puffed up. You see, that each time you come before Christ, if your heart's right, now if your heart ain't right, don't expect Him to do any favors for you. There's no grace there. He knows that you're just trying to get justified so you can run out and keep a bragging about how holy you are, so you can point the other fingers at someone else. You don't have no mercy. You don't have no grace. But you're a perfect law keeper, which there is none. That's exactly what I'm talking about. Notice this. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 20. And to those who are out of Judea, I became as a Judean, that I might win the Judeans. And to those that are under the law, I preached that I keep the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, as without law, not being without law toward God, but under the law, that I might win those who are without a law. So that's within the spirit. Paul is saying, look, if I run onto someone that keeps the law and he's believing in the law, I the more. I love Christ good enough to love him so much that I'm keeping more of the law than my accuser. And that's what Christ was teaching. If I forgive you much, are you going to love me much? Well, of course, Peter said, the one that's been forgiven much is going to love much. That was the whole purpose. Because the prosecuting attorney said, nobody is perfect. Nobody's going to keep the law. And nobody can come back to you. And Yahweh just said, oh, yes. I'm going to do away with the letter of the law that condemns everyone under the law. And once they get condemned, they're going to come to me and they're going to ask, they're going to repent, and I'm going to forgive them. And Satan said, you wouldn't dare. That ain't fair. The definition doesn't make any difference between those who try to keep the law and those who don't keep the law. But keep the spirit rather than the letter of the law. See, nobody can keep the letter, although they think they can. But only a pure heart will keep the spirit of the law. And so then, you're not going to break the law if you've been forgiven for much. When Paul said under the law, it can only refer to those who have received the law, who are required to keep it. Well, Christ said, I give you the law, none of you keep it. So what did he do? He said, well, here's what you do. You let the law condemn you as a sinner and count yourself dead to sin, but alive to Christ through the spirit of the law. Therefore, you don't let sin reign in your mortal body. You don't let it control you. You don't go out from the prison bars and kill a man over his wife. You die. When you left the jail cell, you became a new creature. Yeah, you got your pardon. You love him. You're praising him. You wanna please him. You wanna keep more of his law, the holy law. You wanna walk upright. You wanna do those things which are pleasing to him. Paul was talking about the believers are not under law, but under grace. It means that they are not under the death penalty anymore for the sin imposed by the law. Instead, the spirit of the law is, would you love me if I would forgive you? Oh, yes. You mean you are good enough to forgive me for committing this terrible sin? We're all deserving of death. We've all sinned and come short. Now, if you didn't die, if you're saying, I'll fool Yahweh, I'll take his grace, and then I'll go out here and use the grace for a sinning rod or for a sinning justification, and I'll go out here and I'll be a hypocrite. Paul was talking about a slave has to work for his master. When sin was your master, you served sin. When you indulged in the lust of the flesh, Yahweh was going to forgive you of those lusts, but if they're still in your heart and you're not clean, your spirit has not been free, you haven't died daily, you keep on sinning to bring good. That's what Paul was talking about. Galatians 3:21. If the law, then, is it contrary to the promises of God? Certainly not. For if the law had been given that could give life, then righteousness would indeed have been by the law. But the Scripture imprisoned everyone or condemned or concluded everyone under sin, so that by the promise, by faith, through his blood, to those that believe, a family, a particular chosen family before the foundation of the world, Yahweh said, I found my son down at the pig farm. He had wasted all of his substance. He didn't have anything left, but there he was, poor as he was, bad as shape as he was. I forgave him. I cleaned him up. I put the robe on him. Now, would you go back to the hog pen? I wouldn't think so. What would you do? You would stay with the joy. See, a lot of people have forgotten. They're trying to do it as a duty under the law. Our guardian. The law was our guardian till he came. Now, when he comes, Christ in you is the hope of glory. And if he don't give you hope, if you stay depressed all the time, you ain't got him. You need him. If you ain't got a joy, I was thinking today, down, Brother Bob and I and Preston were down working on the chapel. And all three of us is getting a little bit older. And it's hard work when you have to do things that you used to do when you were young. Now when you're old, it's harder to do. And it's harder on people to serve the law than it is to serve under the grace that frees you. Because we certainly can't do the work we used to do when we were young. Bob is a professional carpenter. He can do all. He can do everything. There's not much that Bob can't do in the way of building. Like wire. And his son is better, under his acknowledgement, his son is better than he is, Mark. It runs in the family. It passed the genes of a carpenter work. Well, Christ was a carpenter. His father was a carpenter. And by doing the work, now that we can't do under the law, somebody did it for us. There's things that I can't do. But here's this master carpenter who comes along and he'll do it for you. Say, nope, no problem, I'll cover that for you. The law is not opposed to the promises of our Father. The letter is, but we're not under the letter, because the letter kills, but the Spirit makes it alive. You see that? Now, if Bob and Preston and I got a good dose of the Holy Ghost, our bones would have quit creaking, and we would have been back to 16. We'd have felt that power. We could have done twice as much work as we've done today. And we've done our share. But we could have done more. Well, when you have been forgiven freely, and you're not under the burden, you won't have to carry that around anymore, and you don't have to go through that. You know you're free. How wonderful it makes you feel. It's good to be free. It's good to be free. My Heavenly Father, He's got a hold on me. Well, ain't it wonderful? We graduated from school. The law is a schoolmaster. Now we're free from that law. We no longer need it. Because we know what the definitions are. We also know what the consequences are. If we go out and commit a worser sin, Christ said, a worser thing will come upon you. When the judge passed sentence on you that you broke the law, and you were forgiven and freely forgiven at that, and you keep going back to the judge, you're going to get the message that you haven't learned your lesson. Notice this, Romans chapter 5. Therefore, as sin came into the world through one man. I didn't commit that. That wasn't me. And death through sin, and so death spread to all of the house of Israel because they sinned. You see, you sinned and you became guilty. There's no perfect one. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given. But sin is not counted, for there is no law. You got that? Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sin was not like the transgression of Adam. Although you didn't commit his sin, he committed it. And you followed in his footsteps. Because the law was there saying that you shouldn't do these things. It was a type of the one who was to come to forgive all of those things, or the master carpenter to say, look, I'll cover you on that. I know you ain't feeling good today and you've had a bad day. I'll take care of it. Well, it's wonderful. How free you are, how wonderful it is. It's the free gift of righteousness. It reigns in your life through that man who paid the burden. That man who done the work for you. You weren't able to do it. Therefore, as one trespass led to the condemnation that all men have become guilty for the one act of righteousness, when all have justification. What keeps me from sinning is I don't want to go back before him and say, look, I know it was your blood and I know you suffered and I know you had a hard time covering for me. I just can't see myself committing sin after sin after sin after sin, or doing a more horrible thing than I was forgiven for. Because under that is condemnation. I have a conscience. For if by one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. Now the law came in to increase the trespasses. Because the more you know about the law, the more that you're breaking it. But where sin is increased by the knowledge of the law, then grace abounds more and more, so that as sin that reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through the Messiah. Now, Romans 3:19, listen to this. Now, we know that whatever the law says, it says to those that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, all the world may become guilty before God, and therefore by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. See, the more you know about it, the more it's going to condemn you that you're a sinner. And the more you feel condemned, you've got to go to those, or he, the master carpenter, to fix your situation. And he's willing. How could you go back time after time? Paul said, there remains no more sacrifice for your sin. You've got to have faith that he freely forgave you. And you're living now as a dead man. You're dead. That's the law of the Spirit, not the law of the letter. Galatians 5:16 again. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Anytime that you're lusting in the flesh, I know you're trying to justify it, but you're out of the Spirit. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit. Now notice this. And the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to another, so that you do not the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Adultery. Well, I'm telling you, some of these people, they go out from Him. They forget what, they repent, they get baptized. And then they start running their mouth against Yahweh and Yahweh's people. They become adulterers, fornicators, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentious, outburst of wrath, foolish and selfish ambitions, dissension, heresy, envy, murder, drunkenness, and the like, of which I tell you before, and I tell you in the time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against there is no law. And those who have the Christ in them have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And if you live in the Spirit and you have the Spirit rather than the letter of the law, let us also walk in the Spirit. For there's no law against the fruits of the Spirit. You can't fall if you love. Love Yahweh with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, which is only the first commandment. You got your pardon in your pocket. Crucify your passions and desires. I know I've been there. Your envy and your jealousies, your contentions, your hatred, your sorcery, your idolatry, your uncleanliness, your fornication, adultery, all these things are of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit and mind not the things of the flesh. And don't try to justify or nullify the law and to condemn you for what you've done because, well, I'm not under the law. I'm under grace. I've got a right to have the works of sorcery and hatred and contention and jealousy and outburst, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelries. Which, if you do those things, you ain't going to inherit. But if you try to justify it with that lust of the flesh and cover it under grace, you fail from grace. Because you're under the law because it condemns you. So you've put yourself in a double noose. You've tied the knot and kicked the door from under your feet, and you're hanging now without any justification. Don't nullify Yahweh's law. Well, I've got to get out of here. My time is done. I love you tonight. Praise Yahweh. I'm sponsored by Brother Mark in Mississippi, Brother Bud, Brother Edward, the boys from Mississippi. Praise Yahweh. But Brother Paul, 1-800-253-2748. We need help on our assembly. We hope and trust that you can remember us as we're trying to complete it. Brother Bob's come in. He's going to be working here for 2 weeks. Par just left and went back today. He's been down already this week. He was down 3 or 4 days last week working. He's taking time out, trying to keep his business going and running back and forth and things of this nature and working hard. And we got another load of gravel in today, praise Yahweh, in our parking lot. And we're just gradually, you know, if I had $1,500, I could underpin our chapel and make it look nice. We could put some shrubbery. We don't have the money. So we hope and trust that you can see fit to send us some if you got it. And help us out, praise Yahweh. And we do certainly appreciate those that have helped us in the past. Yahweh's times are moving on. Let's keep the faith. We love you tonight. May Yahweh richly bless you. And may He keep you. Now, Father's got our internet up. We're running with the internet, or our website on the internet. That's oneyahweh.com. Oneyahweh.com. We'll have this message in its entirety. We hope and trust that if you would like to have this, and the difference between grace and keeping the law, and you really need to know what you need to know to live to where you can please Yahweh, withdraw yourself from every brother or sister that walks disorderly. They will have a thing to do with them. Turn them over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. A lot of people don't believe in that, but I do. And let me tell you, when you're turned over to Satan, you'll learn not to blaspheme. You'll learn not to do these things that we're talking about. And you will earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. For certain men that have crept in unnoticed or unaware were long ago marked out for this condemnation, that they might turn the grace of our God into a license to sin. And that won't work, ladies and gentlemen. He that doeth good shall be rewarded, and he that doeth evil shall be rewarded. You'll reap what you sow. Keep the faith. Don't deny his name. Yahweh bless. I'll see you tomorrow night around the world on WRV 3.185 on the early show. That's at 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Yahweh bless you.